Meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Green.
Here.
And Trustee Genrick will be here shortly. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Moved to adopt.
Second.
Moved by Trustee Green. Seconded by Trustee Dennis. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item number 3, discussion action regarding health insurance. And we have our visitor, Mr. Michael Treat, to join us from Foresight.
Yeah, it is a budgeted item, obviously, but our renewal is coming due, and I want to make sure that we get it signed if that's the pleasure of the board to move forward with it. And ask Michael to come in and kind of explain where we're at.
Great.
With the insurance and where it looks like it's going.
Here, I'll pass the
Thank you for joining us, Michael.
You're welcome. We'll walk through a couple of things. I know some of you have sat through this before, but last year, and one of the things I brought up last year was the transition to the ACA. So we were in a transition relief period last year, which kept us out of the ACA or Obamacare. And really the plan structure is the same. It's just the rating structure was different. And the like your plan, keep your plan concept is the reason why that transition relief was in place. Well, since last year, they've actually extended it again. So that's good news. It's when we switched over from Arise to UnitedHealthcare a few years ago, we went from a high rate to a very low rate because our underwriting at that time was very favorable. So we have been with UnitedHealthcare, and then the Like Your Plan, Keep Your Plan has kept us in a nice position. We haven't had to jump back up to the ACA rate. So we were expecting this year to potentially early renew. We weren't even sure what was going to happen. And what ended up happening is they extended the renewal or the transition relief till January 1st, 2018. So the rates and plans that I'm showing you actually really, we have two plans that are offered, but really one plan that everybody's taken, and that's the HSA plan, the Health Savings Account plan. The renewal ended up being a 6% renewal, and that's for 13 months as opposed to the 12 months that a typical medical renewal would be. So it gets us to January 1st, 2018, before we're then having to be put into, as of right now, that would put us into the ACA, which compared to current rates right now, it would be a substantial increase. Right now, I can figure it's right around, depends on the plan, but it's about 30 to 40% higher than where the rates are today. So, but I do believe that between now and January next year, there'll probably be some modifications to the law itself to figure out how are they going to handle the small group market, which is the under 50, which is really the only market that's impacted, well, I should say only individual market, which is kind of in a mess right now, and then the small group is following that. Anything over 50 is basically kind of business as usual, except for the aspect of the plan structure follows similar to the plan structure you have right now. So really the rating structure that's different for your company or your group under 50. So,
Hello, Mr.
Brilliant.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Thank you.
You want that one?
So there's not a part of being part of the Like Your Plan, Keep Your Plan is or Like Your Doctor, Keep Your Doctor. That doesn't give us a lot of flexibility to change. If we make a change to another carrier. Plan structure, it puts us that we'd have to move to the ACA rate. So it really gives us one last year under this current offering, and then at that point, what we'll end up seeing is, I guess who knows at this point? It's all kind of a guess. So unfortunately, I guess I was expecting this year to be talking about higher increase or plan changes and all that. What ended up happening was probably best case scenario at a 6% for UnitedHealthcare, and what we saw for most of the companies we work with, it's either that actually this is probably one of the best renewals that we have for UnitedHealthcare. If your group was unhealthy right now, a lot of those groups are staying in the 20% range as they try to push them over the EACV rates. So, but pretty straightforward. The recommendation right now is not to move to the ACA, stay transitional relief, at least until 2018, so January 1st, 2018. And what we'll have to do is just watch the law as that gets, I guess, whichever, you know, whoever gets in office coming up is going to have to make some changes. Whatever those changes end up being, will be what will be offered probably January of 18.
What's this 502 written in there next to the 520?
I'm sorry. I noticed that when I was doing the math in my head, that 6% didn't. It said 520.
Uh-huh.
And when I did that in my head, that was a 10%.
Oh, okay.
The 2 and the 0 got switched. So I can get you a cleaner copy of that, but I just, as I was passing them out, I saw that the math was wrong. So I knew something was off on that first number. So it is 502.64, not 520.64.
See, that's a better number anyway.
Yeah, it is a better number. Yes.
Can we change any other numbers?
Yeah, I wish we could. I wish there was actually that ability, but yeah. It is pretty well set.
Sorry,
Jim.
That's okay.
We're
good for coming late.
Any
I'm used to looking at the rates for the diocese. This is a lot better. Jim.
Yeah, we're still, when we switched from Arise, I think we're still, so where we were 3 years ago, our individual rates are still lower than where we were before. Our family rate, I think, on here is 1,500. We were at 2,500 before. Different plan structure, but that's about $1,000 difference in premium for families.
And how much of the premium do the employees pay? Or do we pay it all?
No, 97, 93. Is it 90, 10, or is it 3%? Claire, do you remember?
5%.
5%.
It was 90. Zero a few years ago.
Yeah.
95.5.
But that's the year that you also made the change before I started, but from a traditional plan to HSA plans.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big shift on employees as well.
So otherwise it's the exact same plan?
Plan is exactly the same.
What is it? Is it been working?
Yeah, it has worked. We met our insurance committee last week with Michael to kind of go through it, and it's working. He's got some stuff that's coming out that we'll be working with staff as far as potential other things to these savings accounts.
Smoking cessation programs, things
yeah,
that
all kinds of stuff.
They're staying with the program that is re-education. So we talked about it in employee meetings, but trying to figure out ways to get more uptake on it. So. I think this is a perfect year for that because we don't have to make any major plan change, re-education on that. Let's see if we can use that kind of bandwidth to engage in some things that can help our plan out. Because as we look into if underwriting comes back into the mix, we want to make sure we have the healthiest plan participants that we possibly can to make sure we can get that lowest rate. And that's where we were before. We were paying the high end. And we got healthy when we made a switch. I guess really it was fire went on one side, which helped us at that time, and and everyone else stayed for fire and police. And that's when we were able to re-underwrite and took advantage of the population we had. So underwriting may come back into play. It may come back into play in a partially self-funded program that could replace having to go to the ACA options. So there's a lot of things that may come up in health may be one of them, so we thought, as we talked to the committee, that now might be a really good time to try to engage the employees in some different initiatives on that side. And a lot of what we're talking about is actually free, included with United Healthcare's. You already pay it. Free is not true. You're paying it from your premium. It's all.
Yep.
It's just inclusive. So.
Are we subsidizing their health savings account? I remember that was a discussion.
No.
We discussed that, but, Brad, you probably weren't.
I wasn't involved.
Weren't there?
No, nothing was put in.
But we never did it.
No, at the time, and we still have two plan options that are available. One is the traditional copay plan. You do the pricing difference between the two. it's a no-brainer. Take the health savings account. You end up saving more in premium than you actually
spend in deductible.
So it took a couple years. Everyone started doing the math and realizing it is a better plan to go to the HSA. And in an initial, when you jump into an HSA, it can be a little more difficult with that first spend on prescriptions. But I think now, maybe the fourth year going into it, it's starting to, I think some of the base component of it, I think, makes more sense. And typically during the employee meetings, a lot of that questions come up was the health savings account itself. And I think I would say last year we had very few people even attended the employee meeting last year compared to past years.
Okay. Any other questions for Michael? So what do you need?
Board to approve. It's listed in our budget in front of you. It's showing up in there. But authorize you to sign the agreement.
Okay. Move to renew our plan with UMR.
I have a second. Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Thanks for your good work.
I see.
That sounds good.
Hey, Clark, you're going to be using this, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
All right. Only if we have to.
I'll scoot out of the way.
Okay. So it ran in my head.
Yeah, it does just go like this. Just go like this.
Rob, would you mind? We have a number. Like the whole.
Yeah. I wouldn't be talking if I were. Yeah, I saw that homeless guy outside of St. Matt's. Sunday.
Okay.
You walked over to pat him on the
agenda item.
Yeah, it was Nathan.
Number 4, 2017 budget review.
Frank's going to be joining us any minute. He thought it might be closer to 5:30. But then we got done. So Frank's just in there.
So is he going to go first, or
no? We can dive right into it. Okay. Okay, Chris, I'll wait if you want to.
I didn't really have it set up to go by department. We already went through all the departments. So I was just planning on going through the book and the summary. There's not a lot of changes this year. In front are the general fund revenues and expenditures. Really going through it, not a lot of changes. Property taxes we proposed staying relatively the same. Intergovernmental, nothing really changed there except Craig's not here, but there's a local road improvement grant that you can apply for annually or biannually, and he anticipates getting that this year. Everything else stayed pretty consistent. Licenses and permits. This was our first full year having Kevin here, so the first year we just took a 5-year average. Yeah, we just took a 5-year average of permit revenue. He modified that a little bit and has it going down.
Which line item is that?
Building permits and inspection fees. I guess I'm just going down and highlighting major changes. Under public charges for services, the major change there was our ambulance fees. That agreement with the Green Bay Metro Fire Department had us on that declining scale. This is the final year of reduction that we're now at a 15% of that revenue. Intergovernmental charges for services. No real changes there. Miscellaneous revenue, not a whole lot there. Interest continues to be down, and as our cash balances continue to decrease, the interest also goes down, so that's why you see that going down. That's a pretty brief overview of the revenues.
Good question. Craig, since you're here, on that grant through the local road improvement program, we've applied for it, but we have not received it, right?
We have not applied for it.
Oh, okay.
So it happens to be, I think there's seven villages. Every year is one village gets an extra payment, and we're supposed to be the one due for that in 2017. So we apply for it in 2017. It should be
approved. If we don't get it, how do we adjust the $50,000?
Right, we would not do that project if we don't get it.
Okay, it's just tied in with it. It's tied in with a specific project.
If we retain it as part of the project, yeah, then we would apply it to that project to whatever street we apply for. And if not, then we have to cut one of the streets out or
okay.
Whatever happens to it.
Got it. Thank you. We're
expecting a 25% increase in recycling revenue.
Which
right under local road improvement program.
Yeah, the
state aid for the recycling program. Yeah,
is that for sure?
I believe we got the notice that it.
I think we got the notice on that already.
Yeah, there was a significant change.
Recycling.
Yeah.
From the page one. Intergovernmental. Yeah, we're not done yet.
There's a 20% increase in hen license revenue, I see.
Right.
Should be big.
It makes an impact.
Yeah. Every little bit.
Making us more sustainable.
Stan, one point here, guys.
Going down.
Okay. What else?
Yeah. That should be right. Yes. It went up. See, the governor cut the recycling in 2016 by 15%, I think it was, and then restored it for 2017. So that's why it went from 79 to 98.
Anything else on the revenues on page one?
Can we get more hens?
Can you just tell me the property tax? Look at the property tax, and it's up. Well, it's just up 2%.
Right. Yeah.
And that's is that just from evaluation? Or
no.
How is that figured?
I'll get that to that, I guess, later after we go through the revenues and expenses, how it's allocated between the different funds.
Okay.
But it just we're assuming we're raising property taxes by 2%.
No, that's just a general fund levy.
Okay.
I guess to start, the overall we're actually down in not total levy but tax rate.
Yeah.
So and I look at 2014 compared to 15. And,
right. Right. It's where you budget for your expenditures. So.
Oh, okay.
The total levy that makes up the property taxes and the property tax rate is the general fund, the debt service fund, your special revenue funds, and your capital project funds. So it's where you allocate that.
Okay.
I'm glad that's not the assumption.
No. Okay, so expenditures under general government most stayed pretty close. General administration went up. The main reason for that increase would be workers' comp increased pretty significantly. New Eye is in there, and publication fees, if we wanted to do those.
So New Eye falls under general administration?
Yeah, so under that $28,161. New Eye is in there for $14,810, and also a $5,000 expense to do mailings for the village.
And we're going to have a new eye discussion, right?
If you would like, absolutely. And mailings, 5,000? Okay.
Those were the major increases.
The 5,000 was in relation to what we did last year for the public information meeting on the streets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd ask that I put money in.
Four of those, yeah.
Okay, that is.
Cool.
Election will be next year.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we all know why. And then Village Hall Building and Community Center, which is Kristen.
Sure. Under general government there. I do have a just a brief overview memo, if you want to take one of those and pass it around. Just kind of explains a little bit of what the Parks, Rec, Forestry budget and then the facilities budgets. Quick explanation on some of those items. That Village Hall budget increase of $20,000, $15,000 of that is for the parking lot out here. In working with the Public Works Department and our engineering staff, it's a standard maintenance practice of crack filling and seal coating to do the parking lot around the whole facility here, estimated at about $15,000. And then the other $5,000 or so is just some slight increases for standard building repairs and maintenance, carpeting, flooring replacements, some AV equipment, looking at some security upgrades to our front office, and some slight increases to some of the contracting services that we have. So that's what that increase is for. The community center building increase is for just some standard maintenance issues that we're seeing with that facility. If you recall, we had that study performed by a consultant, and they went through and looked at a lot of that. So what we're looking at, the increase for next year, is more for the needs that we need to do to take care of the facility right now so it doesn't deteriorate any further. Some facade repairs and roof repairs. We're looking at close to $5,000 on that. One of the items that they called out was egress safety lighting, that type of stuff. And then some code compliance issues and some exterior asphalt repairs. That is one of our facilities that we utilize for voting. And so we need to make sure that it is, accessible to the public and that. That is also an item that the board will need to look at down the road for that large capital improvement project, in the next 2 to 5 years, if that's something that we want to continue to go down towards. So,
I think we talked about maybe some fundraising for that?
Correct. Trevor and I looked into some grant opportunities, possibilities, and so far we haven't been able to find anything that would work for us at this point in time. For more of the large capital project, we're looking at potentially talking to some folks in the community for potential naming rights type of funding, or a capital campaign type of funding mechanism, something with the thermometer that we stick out mm-hmm. in front, but or utilizing some of the crowdfunding type of things, some of those. So we hope to as we move forward with that project, we hope to look for multiple funding avenues to try to fund that. That will be a large project.
As a community oriented donation project, and the building is having historic significance, is there a possibility for their additional tax deduction off their donations?
I would think so, but we'd have to look into that.
Something we would like to be able to sweeten it with.
Right, right. Yeah, that's definitely something that we could look into to make sure prior to accepting any of that donation. So, any questions with those two items?
Okay. Again, insurance, that's attributable, that $13,000 increase is basically all increase in workers' comp due to experience.
I had one thing I wanted to throw out actually last year, but we didn't do it for the 2019 budget, I guess, to just throw it out as an option, is increase the pay level for the village president. Wouldn't take effect until the next election cycle, but not necessarily. I'm not looking for any kind of increase for the non-president board members, however to phrase that, but just to make a little bit more of a difference in the compensation for the person acting as village president. It's something to consider.
I agree, Matthew. I've thought of that several times and I had brought it up.
But I wouldn't want to do it until the current president's term is over, but just throw it out there as something to put out there in the future. I forgot about it last year.
And is Matthew going to still have to mow your lawn?
No, he didn't.
Okay, moving on to public safety. Police department, we got that contract. It remained relatively unchanged. School patrol, that's our crossing guards. That went up. I got the staffing numbers from Mark and applied their wages to it. Apparently, we have two new posts, and that's the increase. So it's quite a bit.
But tell me where that is under public safety.
Public safety school.
School patrol, there it is. Okay.
It went from 45,000 to 59,000.
And do we know where those two new locations are? And what triggered that kind of need?
I can read you which ones we have. And I'm sure which ones are new.
There are people on those corners.
Webster and Green, and then Libel and Green.
Webster, St. Matthew, Libel Broadview, Libel Hilltop, Libel Longview, Alloway Libel, Libel Hoffman, Libel Green, so Webster and Green.
Libel's a dangerous place.
I don't know that I've ever seen one at Webster and Green. I see one at Libel and Green all the time, and I only take note of it because I drive it every
day.
That's
a new one, though. They're putting it in.
Oh, they're putting it. They're adding it.
They already have it.
Oh, that one's already
there right now.
Because of the merger.
Oh, I was wondering if it had anything to do with that.
Has anybody followed up to see if that post has actually been posted?
Well, it's still Webster and Green.
Oh, because I don't think anybody's been there.
Walk up.
St. Matthew's kids have to go down to Resurrection.
I don't know what the numbers are, but I'll try to get those.
Resurrection have to go up there.
Do kids actually walk up and down Webster to get to the north side and south side?
I don't know. I think all the parents almost bring them. But.
Okay. I would seriously check that posting at South Webster and Green.
Yeah.
I drive that every day, and I've not seen a crossing guard there yet.
Okay.
I'm with you. I've never seen one. I come through there quite a bit. And then when we've done safe routes to school, kid counts on Webster. They have been really low. Really, really low historically. So, like to get that up more though. So maybe we do some advertisement of here's where our crossing guards are, here's your safe routes to school, and because from a health standpoint, we like to get more kids walking.
Mm-hmm. What's the crossing on the south side? Ten on Webster, Hoffman.
Webster and Hoffman.
I don't know if there's one at Webster Hoffman. I don't travel that much. Mm-hmm. There's one at St. Matthew's in Webster.
On south of 172, are there any?
On Webster.
Yeah.
Webster and St. Matthew.
So it doesn't say Webster and Green? I was thinking there was
Webster and Green, okay. And Webster and St. Matthew.
That's so we don't have one.
I don't think
south
there's any south.
We used to it for a long time, but
is that the one that they weren't crossing anybody for like 3 months?
They just stood there every day.
Broadview and Webster. And we don't have one at Broadview either, right?
Libel and Broadview.
Libel and Broadview, right. Two. But nothing on Webster.
No, there used to be two.
Everything's on Libel except for Webster and St. Matthew and Webster and Green.
Okay.
So that's why that went up so much. So
yeah, I would agree. Why are we adding the posts, and if they're already, why is there an increase?
I will get that answer.
Because if we supposedly have them in the 2016 budget.
I haven't seen anybody on that corner. I come home every morning.
On which one?
On Green and Webster.
Oh, I'll guarantee you there hasn't been anybody there all year.
I drop Mike off and I come over the bridge and you know, I always see the people at St. Mass, but I don't think I've ever seen them yet.
I'll follow up.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't either. St. Mass always. Yeah. And there's usually kids right there.
Yeah, right there.
And right below that is the fire department contract that we saw a 3% increase on. Public fire protection charge decreased by 50% because we implemented that with our water rate increase, and that $138,000 is going to show up as an increase in street paving. Building inspection went up $3,800, so not much change there. Under other services, the major change would be code enforcement. That was directed to decrease it to either 2 days from the 3 days or a decrease in wage. So that's that decrease. Public Works. Animal control. That we've been historically under budgeting for, if you can see. Since we, I can't remember what it used to be in 2014.
How's our spade neuter program working?
And
I know they.
We need to get Monica back in and kind of give an
update on that.
We need an hour.
I know they did a ton of cats up near our end, which people were really happy about.
I got one here, Craig, so you sure?
I know Pats Anonymous is doing a huge job.
Yeah.
Sarah or Claire, could I take you back up to building inspection?
Do we need more?
Why do we see an increase in expenses?
Can we share?
Can we share?
I'm going to flip back to detail for that one.
Or maybe I know.
Small dollar amount. Yeah, so I'll have to look at what specifically my job. Okay. Under 10-14.
Is there a question I might be able to answer? What was the question?
Why are building inspection fees going up 10%?
Building inspection went up.
He's got some licensing renewal for this year.
Previously,
yeah. Yeah, that was
the licensing for Kevin.
Yeah.
And then there's also contracted services of $2,000 for we still pay independent inspections for some inspections. That I didn't put anything in the budget last year. I didn't know they were still doing some. So.
What inspections are you still using?
Commercial electrical.
Kevin's not licensed to do that.
So that would be the main.
Yep, that takes care of it. Thank you.
Okay, so then we could move on down to Public Works then. I know Craig just handed out a memo if he wants to go through that. Again, the biggest change here would be under the street construction. That's that public fire protection charge moving down. that's the main difference. What we're going to talk about later is that local road improvement program, $50,000 grant, whether or not we're using that to increase that by $50,000 and add $50,000 more street paving, or using it to offset the paving that we're already doing.
Okay.
So I don't know if, Craig, you want to touch on anything in Public Works?
Anyone else need one?
Thank you.
Jim, do you have one?
Yep.
We don't have to care.
Is this the same?
Yes, one I gave earlier.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Sure.
Do you want me to go over this?
Well, if anyone has any questions, or if you want.
If you would go over just real briefly.
Things we just got it.
Yeah.
Engineering budget is essentially the same as last year. There's a carryover. We didn't install the second CAD station this year, so we're carrying it over to next year to do that next year. In the Public Works, our state highway aid is up a little bit. State aid for recycling is up a bit. There is an LRIP grant that we should get this year, which would be that odd year grant that we get double up. We had one this 16, we get one 17. It's in there at $50,000. It'll probably be a little more than that, but we don't know the exact number because they have to calculate and know it yet when that comes out from the state. We do have to apply that to a large project because it's a 50% of the cost of the street, so we do have to apply it to a larger project. We estimated the recycling revenue at $10,000 based on looking at it over the history and saying we're starting to move in the direction of getting a little more revenue. Remember, we used to get $30,000 plus a year for recycling, and it went way down. So we're budgeting for some payment for disposal of recycling and some revenue. Best guess as to what we think will happen. That's on the revenue side. On the expense side, now we show street maintenance in here at $413,000 because we took the original budget plus the one quarter of the fire protection charge plus the LRIP, which comes out to $413,000. The LRIP was taken out of these calculations here in the booklet, so it shows it at $363,000. So that's one of the items to discuss later.
What was taken out of there, Craig? Oh, the grant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's being held in abeyance.
So we have to decide whether or not we want to add to the 363 with the LRIP or if we want to use the LRIP to reduce the 363.
Right. Well, you can't reduce the 363. Well, you could add to it. Because we had originally started out with $413,000.
Okay.
On leaf collection, there's a little bit of a decrease. We're expecting some savings with the new vacuum collection truck, and we're actually seeing that. It's very efficient at picking up small piles and starting out early, and then we'll use it at the end of the season. And on the garbage collection, there's some cost savings because these new trucks that we have, now that they're fully in operation, they're a little higher capacity than the old trucks. And the young fellows that we have operating those are pretty fast. So we've cut our operating costs on garbage collection. So that's a good thing.
Now, just a question with the leak vacuum, because we got rid of our leak vacuum truck years ago because they said we didn't need it. So now we're finding it would benefit us at the end of pickup?
Well, you got to remember, are we going to get that?
No, that's before my time.
The bales
those were not very efficient. Those were a two-man operation at a block. Three?
Three guys.
Yeah.
One guy driving the truck, one guy working the hose, and the other guy working the rake.
Oh, so these new ones that you don't have?
Just one person.
Perfect, okay.
One person, and then we retrofit the fourth garbage truck. We went a year with the three trucks to make sure we could transition to three and not four.
Okay.
And then we retrofit that. That was in the budget this year. So, and we built it ourselves here.
Awesome. All right. That makes sense, then.
All right, we're happy to take you out and show you that.
I would love to see that. I want to go snow plowing again this winter.
Let's see. So garbage collection is down a bit, about 10,000. Refuse collection is about the same as last year. Leaf collection is down a bit. You know, we direct haul from the roadway right to the delivery point, whether it's a farm, landscapers, whatever. And then last year we had one organic farmer that came in with semis and hauled direct from us, so we saved some haul costs. This year, we're not sure if that fellow is going to be back. We haven't been able to really link up with him again, but we have another composter that is coming in later this week, and they want to direct haul from us. So if we can do that, that saves us some money. And LeBron, the farm site is up a little bit, and that's just because of the maintenance of the site, cleaning, hauling material, and whatnot. It's the drop-off site for residents if we're not in a collection week. It's heavily used. And so there's a little bit of extra work there just for handling all that material.
What are the salaries for the guy, the two guys who work the collection site? Oberlin, is that in there?
It's in there.
Okay, so
it's in here, but it's about $10 an hour.
Mike, who's been added to that staff, what, last year or the year before? On a regular basis, I get compliments about him and how great of a job he does and how people drive up, he goes and takes stuff out of their car. I mean, he's working all the time. So if there's a way to reward that behavior, I would encourage us to do that. He's really, I hear about him all the time.
Just a couple other items. Use liquid salt brine. There's about $800 or $850 in the budget for buying brine. We don't do like the other communities. We don't have the equipment to mix it and store it on site. We go to the pier and buy it for 11 cents a gallon, and we get it. That's a little above their cost. And it just it doesn't pay for us even to have equipment to handle it. But it does cut our salt use. And we're only budgeting for $30,000 for salt.
Craig, where do we have the salt use?
What is it?
Where is that located?
The salt more use? Of the detail.
It's in the
deal. Oh, it's in the deal. I'm just wondering.
We used to have $50,000 in salt.
I remember.
And now we're down to 30. And we're stored full. We got plenty of salt. We've been fine.
And whatever happened to that beet juice kind of technology? Just kind of not was worthless.
Beetlejuice? Kind of ran
beet
away.
Beet juice, it was. It was just the year that one year that it was talked
it
about.
It may have some applications in places, but really what took its place is the liquid salt brine. Very economical to use. And so it's saving us some money every year.
Is it just because when you water the salt, it just goes further? It spreads out better? Is that why?
Well, there's two things that happen. One is we use it, we retrofit all of the trucks with a small brine tank. So when you apply dry road salt, you're mixing in water with it, the salt brine with it. So then it doesn't bounce off the road.
Oh,
it stays
yeah.
on the pavement. And we cut back from, the settings on it go like from 0 to 1,000. And they were running way back when I started here, 750, 800. Now we're running at 200. So we cut back on the salt and we're using brine and we keep it on the pavement. A lot of times it would spill up on the boulevards and things like that. So that's one thing. The second one is, if you recall, I think about 2 years ago, we built a haul tank that fits in a dump truck, a plow truck. So we go down and fill that up at the pier, and we put that on the road ahead of a storm. By doing that, we don't have to come in the evening and dry salt roads. So we'll use that 7, 8, 9 times, maybe a little more, depending on what the weather looks like. But we put that on the road once a week or before a storm. And then we avoid that evening of coming in with 3 fellows and trucks and putting road salt down. So we save money there. So.
Well, it's made the intersections much better over the years since you started that.
Yeah, it works extremely well. I don't think we can shave that cost anymore, to be honest with you.
My curb grass grows better, too, now.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits. So when you see those little lines of liquid salt going down the road, that's what it is. And everybody's doing it. Even on the bridge over here, the DOT goes and does that before a storm. It really does work pretty well. We got a little more in the tipping fee this year at Down County. It went up 25 cents a ton as a preferred contract party, but it's a slight increase, so there's an additional $5,000 in there for refuse and garbage.
What is the fee total fee per ton?
$40.50, I think, is what it's going to be this next year.
So 40, 25 to 40.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We have some money in there for sidewalk repair. We have some money in there for sidewalk replacement. We did that this year and we plan to do it next year, just installing small segments where they've never been finished. Finish up some of those routes where there's no sidewalk that ends in 2 homes or 3 homes or 6 homes don't have a sidewalk, but the rest of the street does. That was the plan to start.
Have we done any of those projects this year?
We have one in the works, but I don't know for sure if we're going to get it done because of our backlog of work. And the two residents we've met with, they're all in favor of it, but we haven't been able to get them back together to approve our design. So it may get in yet in
late October, early November, but I'm not sure.
Otherwise, we'll do it in the spring.
We'll do it in the spring. Delahunt, yeah. Otherwise, we'll do it in the spring.
Craig, do you know off the top of your head is that little part by the McCormick home where there's a big hump sticking up and someone fell on is in the repair list?
It should be, because that was, I think you sent it my way and I sent it to...
I'm not sure if it's on the repair list. The repair list is somewhat long, but that section of sidewalk is one that's in the bike and ped plan. And we either have to decide that we're going to put that whole sidewalk in or decide that we want to take it all out. Because it's not a standard sidewalk. It's too narrow. Mm-hmm. That's one of the spots where it really needs to go through Public Works and the Village Board and decide what to do with.
But if it's heaved and people are falling, can we even just go grind
Is there something we can do so it's not dangerous?
Yeah.
The Safe Routes to School project, where is that going to fall? Doesn't that start next year?
Yeah. That should be under construction next summer.
Okay.
Yeah. That's in the capital projects.
Capital, okay.
So that's kind of a quick overview, and... where we are going in the future is we'll continue to work on the leaf collection and disposal, and we're looking at that county or the metro area study for maybe a long-term best use for the materials, brush, leaves, and so forth, in combination with the other communities in Brown County solid waste. And
is that what the landfill MRF charges are? Is that the getting rid of the leaf and brush?
No, that's getting rid of the recycled material when they don't pay us. We at times have to pay for disposal. Landfill MRF charges. The 170,000?
Yeah.
No, that's our tipping fee at the landfill. Plus
for garbage.
For garbage. Plus when we have to dispose. When we get charges for recyclables.
Okay, where in your budget is the disposal fees for brush and brush and leaves?
Leaf and yard waste collection, the two above.
And that's brush as well?
That's on page, let's see here.
So I seem to remember, well, I do remember, we had a discussion.
35.
Because at one point, we had this discussion when we were going over this earlier, that in earlier years it was, the expense was lower, it went up, and we were expecting it to come down, we budgeted it low amount. And I asked that we look into, is the way that we thought would be more efficient not more efficient? Should we go back to the way we were doing it?
It's a long and complicated story, this.
Page 35.
It's a long and complicated story. Our brush grinding, it starts with 2014, and then there's 2015, 2016, and then back to next year. Prior to 2014, we spent typically $10,000 to $14,000 a year for grinding brush.
I'm sorry?
Prior to 2014, our typical brush cost would be between $10,000 and $14,000 a year.
Okay, what line item are we on? On what page?
That would be page 35.
Yep.
And then the account is the 290 account there in the top.
Contracted grouping, services.
53322-290.
Okay.
Contracted services.
Yep.
So we would typically spend about $12,000 for grinding. And in 2014, the effort there was to take the material to a hog fuel boiler with a different entity to grind, and this cost was split between Public Works and Parks. And I think that price that was quoted was a low price, and I think it went up the next year. But when you go to a hog fuel boiler, when we would grind brush, when we were doing it just as Public Works, we would mix in some of the yard waste and all of those other materials. Well, there was a problem with taking the material to a hog fuel boiler because you get that sandy, dirt type material in there and unwanteds and plastics and things like that. And so continue going to hog fuel boiler, yard waste and any of the other extraneous material could not be handled with that. So we started hauling that direct to the quarry. And we took our brush that we collected direct to the quarry. So in 2015, you see the $16,000. There's some, about $3,000 in there for grinding, and the balance of it is split between taking it to the quarry, the yard waste, or the brush. And that's the brush that's picked up on the street. So we would direct haul it. That's where we get the $15,000 budget for 2016 or $16,000 budget for 2017 is assuming we're going to continue the direct haul. Half of it's the yard waste, the material that can't be ground, and the other half is just brush picked up on the street.
So what's the likelihood we have for equipment charges, we're budgeted for $55,000, or no, year to date we're $55,000, and we're budgeted for $70,000, and that was from through August. So through 8 months of the year, isn't this a busy time for us?
No,
it's not.
No.
Okay.
So we should be pretty good on that.
Okay.
Well, there's no more brush pickup until January
right.
at this point.
So is there a better way to do it overall? There may well be. We don't know yet. I mean, we have that other study that's going on, but that's kind of a big, long-range, metro communities all together. I'm not sure that it's going to address the short-term needs, unfortunately. So we may have to look at some other options to try to blend in a way to handle this that works better. Chris and I have talked about that too, and so we're trying to figure out what's a better way to go, if there is one.
Yeah. Craig and I have
that's what it boils down.
And Craig and I have started discussions with that, and in looking at should we begin talks with other local communities that currently have some of these facilities, and see if we can work an agreement out with them, i.e. Bellevue or some of those, or City of Green Bay, and see what the fees would be with relation to any of the other charges that we currently.
And even De Pere has a bigger brush facility
right.
than we do.
Right. One thing to take note with regards to that as a community as a whole and an area as a whole, Emerald Ash Borer mm-hmm. is going to cause the whole area to have larger quantities of brush. So it's something that not only us as the village of Alloway, but the whole area is looking in and has to work through as well. So,
okay. So it's a really complex issue.
Do you want to break?
Yeah.
Why don't we break for dinner break? Grab some food and just come back and continue. Does that work? Okay, let's get going.
We're live.
We're back on.
Back.
Okie doke. Let's talk about parks, rec, and forestry.
You want to say anything first?
No, I think that one might be here Chris talk.
So. Oh, gee, thanks. Just to go through the memo here, just to hit the highlights, revenues are decreased slightly overall, about around $450 or so. We're seeing some declines in some trends for some participation in programs and some of our rec programming, softball, bus trips, WPRA tickets and that. It's not great, but it is a slight decrease. You may have noticed before when we were going through revenues, we did have some lost revenue from some reimbursements from Brown County for mowing that we would do on Webster. We no longer get that money. Also, looking to make up any of those revenues were, we did, if the board recalls, we did our redo our fee structure So we're looking at some increases in facility rental fees and some new fees for special events and village hall rentals. Those aren't great, but you know, it is some revenue coming in, as well as, you know, looking for increasing our donations and that for programming.
Chris, did you run a comparison? If you have the same, if you have the 2017 fee structure in 2016, it would be an overall increase in revenue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did. And off the top of my head, I don't recall what it was, but yes, there was an increase. Overall, our expenses decreased slightly. With that, you know, we did have, in some of our light items, we did reallocate some funds, had some increases in more of our operating. If you recall, we increased for snow plowing for the Fox River Trail. And a lot of that, you know, was just allocating staff and equipment, you know, to do that. And then some increases in athletic fields, grounds maintenance, you know, putting the money where the people see it, you know, out there. We saw decreases in things, you know, our park mechanics line item. That's just, you know, reallocation of where he spends his time and where he does his work, you know, and whether that's in Fund 71, in other areas of parks, or even in some of the public works accounts. So.
So it went up somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah.
And now, who's moving Webster?
We are.
So we're just not getting around.
Correct. Correct.
How's that work?
If we want it to look good, we have to take care of it. If the county, if the county does it, they do it twice a year, and you get.
And that's it.
And that's
but they
it.
Used to pay us to do it.
Mm-hmm. They give us like a $1,700 reimbursement for our effort
because
they wouldn't
have,
they wouldn't
right?
have to come at all. They don't come there twice a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's one of their things that they even out
what's
their budget.
What's the logic?
With.
Okay, got it.
I'm sorry, I should have been talking over you. What was that, Claire?
Nothing. Just an explanation.
It was just another thing the county used to even out their budget with was this. Mm-hmm. So they pulled the revenue.
Did they pull the revenue from other county roads as well, or just
or
from
just ours?
From
yeah.
Others.
Yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
What they're saying is that their mowing requirement for maintenance is just to keep the tall grass down a couple times a summer is all they mow. If you as a municipality want it to look nice, then you've got to move the rest of it to make it look nice. That's their approach.
And people are really excited about us plowing the trail, by the way. I'm hearing more positive feedback on that, and they're excited to see how the winter goes. So. Mm-hmm.
Are you anticipating any additional overtime due to the plowing, or it all depends on
no.
how the snow is?
It's snow dependent, but I don't, because if you recall in that agreement, we have a 48-hour window. So with that, I anticipate trying to, as much as possible, do it during our regular work hours so that we wouldn't incur that overtime.
So then we would not be incurring any additional labor costs?
We're not anticipating that, no. Okay. Not necessarily.
Okay, because I wonder, when the 9,000, we got labor, equipment, and supplies.
Right. It's more of that shifting, you know, from...
Okay.
Yeah. And where did I leave off, Clara? Rec admin, our budget reduced almost $10,000. And that, we had a question about that. We couldn't figure it out. And then we realized that last year's budget included our old recreation coordinator who had a family insurance plan, and now our new one does not. So that's where that difference
is. Is that where we've got a scattered selection?
Yeah,
I figured as we got into the detail, I was going to ask about it, but there's probably five, six different instances where we've got detailed line items of health insurance down by close to $10,000.
Right, and I guess the short explanation for this is you can't look at detail line items and expect to see that 6% increase in each, because what you have is a pot of employees that are allocated to one place, four places, 20 places if you're in the public works department or the water department. So each year you adjust that based on trends, so you're not always going to get the same exact hours per person in each detail line item.
Okay.
So what you need to know is that the pot of employees, the health insurance per plan went up by 6%. And of course, there's also changes, like Chris said, if you have a new employee that's on a different plan.
Okay.
Does that explain? Clear as mud?
To be determined.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's easy.
I understand what you're saying. I just, as we go through it, like I said, I just looked through this quickly last night, and it caught my attention, so I'm just going to say
yes. Right, it caught everyone's attention. They were highlighting and asking, and what I do is I have, and I went through it, I can't tell you how many times everyone questions it, but it's right. It's the group of employees. You look at each individual employee, it's right on. It's just where their allocation is.
What you're saying makes sense.
So if you take the entire amount, that's what it looks like. But, you know, they work based on hours. So where they spend their hours, where they put their time during the timesheets, it's never going to be the same exactly.
Does it allocate by percentage then to their benefits?
Yes. Their benefits also are allocated directly to where their wages.
Okay.
Yeah. Except for the water utility because they're special.
Okay. Yeah. And then finally, our rec programming reduced. We looked at some of our programs, i.e. kind of like our open gyms. We reduced those or eliminated those that we weren't seeing participation in or had high subsidies.
How did revenues from the summer camp go?
Well, our summer camp program was a great success.
I heard that.
And we had close to $4,000 in net revenue we were looking at. And because of what our initial participation was, lower than what we had expected, we had to cut it off at a certain level because of the way our... we were licensed. We had to have one counselor for every 12 kids in the program. So we're at a lower number to make sure that we, had that filled. And then we didn't hire that additional counselor. So next year, we're anticipating expanding it by 12 in hopes that, we would gain more revenue even to cover that.
And if memory serves me right, last year we were a little late to the game in starting that program, so people were a little late to react to it.
Yes.
The competition in that market is fairly stiff. I think every time I drove by, it was just all kinds of activity going on.
Right. I thought it was great success. And, in talking to Matt about it, we're anticipating that people will be noticing that, either they didn't make the sign up or they know that you've got to sign up right away this year rather than waiting until, May.
You're going to do anything like a drop-in rate?
At this point in time, no, but we have been keeping track of comments and things like that. The drop-in is difficult because of the way that we have to structure with our staffing. And because if you have one person over,
you
need another counselor. And if you don't know that ahead of time, and then all of a sudden the state shows up, you can get in trouble, for that. So.
Well, this year you had $75,000 budgeted, and you're projected to spend $40,800. So you're really looking to increase your spend by $30,000 next year.
I think that's through August.
Is that
through
August?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all recreational programs.
Yeah, through August.
So do you expect to spend $74,000 this year?
On rec programs?
You mean yet?
Totally.
I think you're going to be a little less than that, aren't you, Chris?
Probably.
Some of the open gyms.
Right. Yes, you are correct, yeah. So we're not doing the open gym.
Where do you have open gym? Where's the gym?
used to be up at Webster.
Yeah,
we haven't done it for 2 years now, I think. The biggest thing with the open gym is we have to pay the school district a rental fee for that, which is very expensive.
You don't have to do it.
I'm sorry. Plus, yeah.
Shut up.
Exactly.
We'll do it for a dollar less. Huh?
Does Greenbank have to pay their schools? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Yeah,
just
it's
like,
it's that's
our school
yeah.
district. Wait a
no,
minute.
No, it's park okay. departments versus school district.
Got it.
Yeah.
Did you get a lot of requests? Do you think for drop-in kind of programs?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. Initially, when we did the switch. And I know we had discussed that way back in the springtime. We kept track, and we did get a few calls and questioned, you know, the switch and not having the playground program, which was more the drop-in, and, you know, versus the positive comments we got from the camp. And overwhelmingly, we had more positive comments. You know, I don't think I could count on one hand how many negative or questions that we had about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've received calls, obviously, from people with multiple children.
And yep.
A lot of families only have, you know, one or two.
Right, right.
But are we looking at potentially reduced rate for multiple children?
We are. Yes, we are. We're continuing to look at that. You know, if they have, say, more than three, you know, more than two or more than three, we're looking at that potential of a reduced rate for that, you know. We don't.
No? Why?
I don't think you should, because...
No, the expenses are the same.
The requirements of the resources that we provide is the same, regardless if you have 10 children or if you have one.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, let me restate that. It's 10 times greater for one, or for 10, than it is one.
Yeah, because you have to have the link counselor for 12. We still have to have lunches. The expenses are all the same.
You know, the thing that we had talked about when we were looking at that, we didn't anticipate there would be very many at all. You know, not many families nowadays have
that's
five
right.
kids.
Especially will have to be in that age range.
Right, that would be in the age range that would go to the camp. So, you know, it was something we had talked about and we were looking at still. But your point is well taken. As
my two cents on the matter.
We don't have to argue about that today.
So how did our revenues do compared to for the park program compared to last year?
Versus the playground program?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year, you know, we made close to, you know, the $4,000 in revenue. And previously the... And I don't have, excuse me for not having the numbers in front of me. Previously, the program was subsidized. Brad, can you help? $9,000?
Roughly
$9,000. It was subsidized, so, you know, we're looking at a swing of
$13,000.
And how many kids approximately participated?
In the playground program, they had numbers in the 70s, 80s, but they fluctuated all over the place. And this year during the, we had total we could ever, we had in any one day was 36. But I'd have to look to see what our total number was for the summer on that. Got those numbers with me.
That's if you don't have them, that's fine. But it's interesting maybe to even look at kind of a scholarship program for families who can't afford it or something like that.
Right. And we've been looking at that as well. And, you know, we've started discussions with some of our service groups of potential, you know, scholarships, sponsorships. And, you know, and kind of put it on them and trying to go that route is what we've been looking at. So.
That's it for parks, right?
Yep.
Okay, the last item under the general fund expenditures is conservation and development, economic development. That went up a lot because that's where Trevor gets paid, and he splits his time between both accounts and the TIF district. So he's new. We're going off of the average of 2015, you can see how much of his time was allocated there. We thought he'd be spending more time on TIP projects. In 2016, he hasn't, and so I changed that percentage. So he's now 80% in the general fund and 20% in the TIP. So salary stayed the same, it's just how it's allocated.
Hopefully next year that'll change and he can be spending more time in the TIP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got a lot of emails he needs to respond to.
Not a lot in the next couple of sections here. Our special revenue fund, public bus service fund, that stayed pretty consistent. Went down just a little bit, so that's our Green Bay Transit. The excess dating sales tax fund is in here, and compensated absences reserve. Again, just continuing to accrue $10,000 a year for future payouts. Nobody retired this year, so I got all available. And the next page is debt service. Our levy did go down in that by about 7%. And I put a detail of our debt service payments below just so you can kind of see what changed, and it's the interest. We did that refunding, so we saved a hefty amount of interest. So that did go down this year, which was nice.
So that's the refunding bond?
Yeah.
Very. $250,000.
Mm-hmm. Our interest payments went down by $132,000. Mm-hmm. And I do, in a couple pages, have more of a summary. I can point it out here because I don't think we'll go through it much later. But on page 14 is just a listing of all our debt issues that we have right now. Just there for information in case anyone had any further questions on what we have. So that's debt service, page 6. Page 7 is our capital project funds. We have Fund 47, the Parks Capital Project Fund that we created just last year. Otherwise, parks and streets, all capital projects were in Fund 48. It just became easier to separate the two, and then our goal is to levy an amount every year in the Parks Capital Project Fund to save up money to pay for these projects. Last year, if you remember, we transferred money in from equipment replacement. This year we have a levy of $13,000, and that was park
furnishings.
Park furnishings. Signs.
The signs, yeah. And then the decorations, street decorations.
And then hopefully we can accrue some donations to help offset some other projects. 48 capital projects fund, I just left it blank because safe routes to school, that $125,000 will be in there, but that's everything. Anything that goes in there is going to be with our borrowing, which I know is a different discussion, so it won't have an impact on the levy, but we'll have to put in there our expenses that we're borrowing for. And then Fund 41, our tax increment district, so we're doing fine there, but an increment, we don't have all the numbers in from everyone, but probably around $321,000. Well, that'll go up again. And then, again, we allocate there some salaries.
So I'm sorry, Claire, just $321,000, we're expecting $321,000 in revenue from our tax increment financing.
Yes. And then expenses, we allocate salaries there. We have this facade improvement program and then any other developer incentives that aren't always known in the future. So. So page 8 is where we have a summary.
the car, why are you anticipating the expenses to go down? Wouldn't we, you know,
on the Cook District?
Mm-hmm. In terms of things like facade improvement and other, wouldn't we
anticipate
it being at least stable?
I guess I'm not. The reason it went down is because less wages are there. I just typically budget like a $10,000 to $20,000. I left that stable for facade improvement.
Okay.
That $16,000 is a decrease in wages. Any other developer incentives, I don't put a budget number in there because it really depends on what we give all of it. And
okay.
It, you know, we don't know until we do it. So there's no impact on tax revenue.
And I realize facade improvement, it's... Our facade improvement is throughout the village. This is limited to just the Hope Business.
This is only the facade improvement.
Just in the
town.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So page 8 would be all our funds and the various levies apportioned to each fund.
And this is where we go.
Right. So here, if you look down at the bottom, it's total village levy. And we're down from last year. So our tax rate last year was 722, and right now, as presented, we're at 719. We did propose that we would leave it the same. However, we didn't come to a consensus on how we would add that those extra dollars to leave the tax rate at 722. So that's where...
How many dollars does that represent?
$34,000. But talking as a group, we thought that there were other items where we could better spend those dollars. For example, we agree that New Eye is not a good use of $14,800. So we propose taking that out, and we would propose taking out $5,000 for mailings and using our email and our social media and things like that. So that we would have more of a $50,000 number to add in projects that we feel would be more beneficial to residents that people would like to see more of.
With that said, does that mean New Eye is up for discussion, or we're paying for it in a different way?
I think that was the intent, that for $14,810, we have a lot of projects in various departments. Craig would like to see the $50,000 put back in for street paving.
Of course he would.
Chris has, you know, a lot of park projects that we would like to start saving for.
Yeah.
And then Trevor also has his zoning code updates, which we do not have in the budget. So.
Yeah.
And then also the comp plan coming up in the future.
And then in 2024, we have to do our comp plan again.
Right. 2024. And that'll be about 60-ish again. 2 years lead time on that.
So,
that.
Long story short, we could take that, and then we'd have $53,000 to work with that we feel could be better spent.
I wouldn't agree with taking the $5,000 out. I would agree with getting rid of the new one.
What is the $5,000 again?
$5,000 is for
mailings. I guess I wouldn't either. I would have to agree with Jim on that. We got to do some mailings because there are people. That's the only communication they get.
Yeah. We can't reach out to new. We can't use our water bills to reach out to new residents. They get the all about alley, but they get that at one point a year, and they don't remember. You can't put your leaves on the street. There are things throughout the year. I think four times a year, seasonally, that we can and should remind our residents about.
Okay. One mailing was
$3,000?
Yeah. It's a little bit
cheaper. Four times a year.
Are we at that point to go through parts of the individual stuff, or should we keep going on the high level?
Yeah, we can keep going.
We're just kind of going, the detail pages we don't go into.
I understand.
Yeah. So I guess if we're talking, I guess my anticipation would be talking about our levy and where we want it to be. And I guess we just felt for the $5,000, we have a lot of avenues, and mailings I get them, I put them in the garbage, most people do, and the audience we want to reach, they don't really do a lot with them. We have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have the blog. We can put things on our utility bills. I was going to start with the email program for water bills that you can sign up for very simply. And then you have a lot more that you can put on there.
Besides the postcard. Emailing water bills would be awesome.
Yeah, so that will start in November.
But we do have a large amount in the village that doesn't do email, computer.
Yep. They don't care about Twitter or Facebook.
No.
Or
right. But we're on a pretty...
Can we like pick them out over the beach and then send them like that? Wait, might be excluded.
What would that line be?
Be like this.
I wonder if there's some way to get people to opt into paper mailings. Because I know I would opt out, me personally, but I don't do Facebook or Twitter. I mean, send me my stuff in email, which Debbie does, which is awesome. And I know a lot of people are getting it via email, but I wonder if we can have people like opt out of paper, though, and bring down the paper charges. Because I'm with you, I'd rather not have the paper, but I just know there's a large portion that would.
As long as you have the systems in place to support it.
To be able to opt out. Do we have a system to make them opt out?
You know, ironically, if you're going to do that, you're going to need a mailing to ask people to opt in or out.
Well,
I think we give water bills too much credit.
Well, I mean, as far as that question,
no, it's a, you know, a little card.
Or Debbie's email listing.
That is one sentence.
Yeah. And people, they look at the number, they get pissed off. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
They get upset.
And they throw it away. They're not going, good.
Well, you pay it before you throw it away.
Yeah. You're raising my water rates and telling me to keep my leaves out of the street.
Okay, great. We can make the disappointments bigger. You're allowed up to 4x6 instead of the postcard rate.
Well, if we did something like that, and we had one side,
then they get a monthly too.
Then it's a two-sided document that changes.
Well, our postcards are two-sided.
Are they? Mm-hmm.
The back side has our rates.
Oh yeah, I suppose it has to be.
Doesn't have to be. That's how we get them pre-printed with that on the back.
So we could do one side, which is the water bill. The other side could be monthly updates.
The utility bill.
You've got to leave enough space for the address.
Section here.
Right. So half the card, if you go 4x6, you can put highlighted things that...
I'll have to look into the forms because I've just gone through about 40 hours of revising the forms to get it to the cheapest possible rate and getting a barcode on it so that our water bookkeeper can scan it and reduce her time, and now getting the address verification barcode on it to reduce the rates even further. So,
how many people are on the auto pay for their water bills? Because that works slick. How do we maximize that?
Right, I would love to keep advertising that. Anyway, we can get people on the auto pay. The other one is when you do it as your bank bill pay or using the online bill payments. As much as we can get, I'd have to look at how many. It's about 70,000 in revenue each month that are doing the auto pay. We have got around 450 that are paying online monthly.
So less than 10%?
That are paying just via the website, yes.
So what does that leave? That's the percentage that don't use computers. Whatever's left. That's just not using their computers.
And we're going to do email. We're going to provide email notification of
right now you can
the water bills.
Yeah, we've always had these capabilities. They've just never been implemented. So I've been working for the past year on setting all this stuff up. So in November, I already changed the credit card payments, the online website, the barcodes. And then in November, everything can switch over so we can do the email output.
Yes.
And we can always get at least one page in the Alloy magazine.
And if we have email outputs every month to people, if we can get them to sign up for that, we could put...
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are our thoughts. So we have the existing 34,000, 14,000 a ton for New Eye, and $5,000 for publication fees, which would bring us to $53 and some odd dollars.
Should we have a discussion on the line and decide whether or not we're going to keep it on the radar?
I think that's a very good discussion.
Do I have a motion on the floor?
I would move that we discontinue participation in UI in 2017.
Do you have a comment, Fred?
I'm just thinking, is that...
Do we need a motion for that? We could just... Well, we wouldn't need a motion for that.
Because you're doing the review, you don't have any action items in your budget. The recommendation would be to remove it.
Okay. Okay. Does anyone want to keep UI?
I think I moved to do that by first meeting back without having enough of the background, but then when we discussed it then, there wasn't a whole lot of support. But I think the gentleman came then and gave us an update, but I don't know that that garnered a whole lot more support from us.
Well, I was hopeful, but it just hasn't.
I knew of one person that watched it once.
That person needs to get a life.
I just think we have better things to spend
that money. That's me, by the way.
I just think we have better things to spend that money on.
Okay. So we'll bring that set of votes.
Well,
just the people that don't have a budget.
Yeah.
Eventually we'll be voting on it.
Okay.
So we're just looking for consensus on items.
Yeah. And I would, as long as we can find ways to really reach out in the electronic water bills, if we're touching them once a month and we can push that and get a lot of people to participate, we'll be reaching people.
Maybe it's something we could see how it goes once we start doing this and start counting and tracking numbers and bring it up again in the future.
Because if we can push that and make that work, we're not getting around, but we're no longer being handcuffed about being able to reach out to people based on their email address or their water bills. Because nothing's to say we can't put the water bill on top and then news information on top.
For the email output?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing is you pay the same rate, which is nothing.
Yep.
Or
and we're not limited on what we can put into that email.
No.
By law or anything?
No. No, you're just limited by space in the current bills.
In the current bills,
I think we should
you can reformat it, but you're still limited in space.
Advertise to people about, here's how much you can save by switching over to email notification in your funds, because then they know, you know, by them switching, it's actually saving everybody money.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of soft costs, too, with opening mail and entering payments, and you know, even though we put on those barcode scanners, you no longer have to type in all the information, you just scan it. So,
yeah.
Those are not numbers that you need to show the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, a reduction.
I should throw out one thing that we're looking at so you're aware of it. The Water Authority, the group of communities, is looking at there's a program out there that we can add to our software package. It's called the customer interface, and then the customer can go in, look up the utility bill, look at the water usage, receive emails and notices and other things. And we've been holding off because we wanted to get the water meters all installed before we move ahead to that. Howard is testing it. They like it. They don't have a lot of customers on it, maybe have 100 so far, but we're looking at doing it as a group, and the cost is pretty reasonable for us to implement that, and it would be in the 2018 when that would really go in if we put that in.
What do you think ballpark the cost would be?
Between $6,000 and $7,000 to buy it, and then it's a buck, basically a little over a dollar a customer a year for the maintenance.
It's a
program maintained. Yeah, that includes maintenance. Yeah, so all we do is use it. It's maintained by others, and all the communities would be using it. So we all have the same format, all have the same, you know. That's coming up. I'm pretty sure that we would propose doing that because it's really a nice feature.
Did you just ask on my computer once?
No, that's our new online through our water software, which we now have for the financials too, they have a website, which is a lot nicer for us because it links into the software and updates your accounts as you pay online. So that was a change because we used to have a different GovPay for our online payments. And that was really expensive too. It was really easy, and that part I really missed, but it's really expensive. It was 3.75%
per transaction.
Or 3.75% fee plus another service fee that ranged from like $1.75 to $7 depending. It was like 4%, another 4%.
How much does AutoPay cost us?
Nothing. AutoPay is awesome.
We should advertise all of that to our users.
Yeah. And I know it's in all about Alloway, and you know, we just need to do more pushing.
Not how much it costs us, though, or would save them. Because, like, if you had three different payment options, and AutoPay costs the water utility nothing, costs you nothing, you just set it up.
Then your online bill pay, like, wherever your bank associated, Capital Credit Union, when you pay through there, too, that... I mean, we do have bank fees that, you know, you pay per deposit, but...
Per check.
Yeah. When we get checks and we have to deposit them, that's really expensive. But when we get a batch that has 50 payments in it, you just have one little fee. So that's, we really prefer that over all the checks coming in. So yeah, I agree. We need to really just keep pushing that more. And there are a lot of people on it. It's just, there's probably still some that are unaware of it.
Is that something new?
Auto-page.
What's that?
Big Brother doesn't trust it.
Yeah. What's a computer? Internet?
Al Gore.
Yeah. I'll call him.
You're on the phone.
So I guess that if we take out the new one and we take out the publication fees, we have $53,957 to work with. So that becomes, where do we want to put that?
Second half.
And tell us again what people are thinking. Are some of the points of views that
the points of view are? We have we're receiving $50,000 for local road improvements, but we didn't increase the street paving budget by $50,000. It had been in there at $413,000, and we took it out, saying we used that $50,000 to offset that, so it would be putting that back in.
Okay.
Which would, you know, then we have $3,000 left. Other options would be putting some in the park improvement fund to help save up for those projects, and zoning.
All of them are good ideas.
Right.
I'm going to lean a little bit with Trevor on this.
Should we do like a Shark Tank thing where everyone makes a pitch?
I'm just going to sit back. I'll just put it in where you tell me to.
Any thoughts?
The zoning code would be just for the working to get it started in 2017, but the real funds would come in 2018.
But we haven't even talked about, I mean, that's still on the horizon, right?
The zoning code?
The zoning?
It's probably in here somewhere.
It's not in here at all. So
I thought he was going to put it in.
What Trevor had said is that he would like to get started on it in 2017 with $5,000 to $10,000 as starting costs, and then the total project would be, he thinks, around $60,000. Original estimates were $80,000 to $120,000.
Oh, that's a lot cheaper than last year.
He thinks $60,000. So, but you know, he wouldn't want $5,000 to $10,000 in 2017 if we're not going to fund the rest of it in 2018, right, obviously. And we had talked about if we're updating the comp plan in 2024, do we put it off till then? Apparently, we're not supposed to have our zoning code the way it is, so
it's not consistent with the comp plan.
Right.
Yeah, it's messy. It's very
and
messy.
That's why we have to use the PDD so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert. I'm just repeating what I said.
So is it really a requirement for us to redo our zoning? How much can we change our zoning?
Our zoning plan, in order to accomplish what we want to in our comprehensive plan, our zoning plan doesn't match it, and it makes it prohibitive. besides the fact that we have all this stuff that's been added and juggled and mixed up. And
can we have an overlay zoning for the village? We don't have mixed use, I understand.
Right? Correct.
Can we have an overlay zoning for the entire village that would allow for mixed use in said commercial areas?
And would that take care
of that problem?
There's a lot of other problems.
Well,
I think there's a lot of other problems.
We started using the PDD process, too, as we've been burned before. Approving projects, rezone the land to commercial, then all of a sudden, oh, poof, that project disappears, but it's already rezoned commercial, blatant, no, and then something else comes in that the village didn't want.
Well, it's setbacks on, and, you know, if you're going to start going closer to the street, the setback requirements don't
meet the walking
requirements. And
I thought you were talking about the PDD, because it seems like...
The PDD is another problem.
It's not a problem. Well, it's a problem because we have somebody making it a problem. But it's a very useful tool that other municipalities use, not just us.
That is true, but we had a woman come in to talk to us about different zonings.
Yeah.
Just so we could familiarize ourselves on plan commission with them. And she says it's highly unusual that people would use the PDD so liberally as we do. It says that there's a problem with your zoning if you need to call on the PDD all the time.
We're not doing anything.
Were they a zoning salesman?
Do you know who it was, Brad? I don't remember.
Part of our issue, too, is we're not having commercial.
Something from Stevens Point, UW, through the UW system.
Yeah, she wasn't selling zoning codes, I don't think.
Classes.
She said, we're not doing anything wrong.
Correct.
It's that it's just a little bit unusual. So she emphasized, again, that we're not doing anything wrong. It's just not a common thing that she sees.
In discussion with Trevor, the thought would be to do as much exploratory as we can in 2017, and if it meant that you start a potential contract with somebody to work through some of these issues and see where we end up. Is it 60? Is it 10? Is it 35? Is it 90? We don't know.
Yeah.
How
long have we been talking about this, Jim?
A while.
So what would he do with the 5, 6, 7, 8K this year?
I don't know exactly. Okay. I don't want
to. It would be starting the groundwork.
Yeah, just to get things moving.
Probably getting someone to help with what are we looking to put in.
Okay. I'm sure Plan Commission made a recommendation to do that, and you'll see it in the minutes.
Well, and I agree with the setbacks and everything. I just don't want to throw the PDD out with the bathwater because it seems like a better option to me. Well, it does, and it was originally started to be used because we had been burned by those projects.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you just blatantly rezone it, you know, you're kind of done. So, yeah.
I think Plan Commission really wants to do a lot more research on the different types of zoning and maybe combinations of those types because there's whole different ways of doing it.
And having someone help us to do that, to help put it in front of zoning and planning, which then will lead you to what is it that you need to do as far as your plan goes.
We don't know enough to have a good answer.
Right. Okay.
But then I really think that if we're getting $50,000 for streets, we should still stick to the number that we had also. Sorry, Chris, I'm leaving you out totally.
So you're saying...
Oh, okay.
Well, if we stuck to the number, we are sticking to the number, right? We're
no,
just finding
because
a different source
we didn't
of
put
revenue.
That additional $50,000 in there. We reduced that budget by the $50,000 that we would be receiving instead of
so you
want to
put it into streets and your vote streets and a little bit for zoning.
That would be $3,900 for zoning.
Mr. Atwood, thoughts?
I have none right now. But I would agree. I don't think we should increase it by $50,000. If the budget's in place, with all due respect, and we're applying that $50,000, come off.
Okay, so you're disagreeing with Penny.
Well, yeah, I guess so. A little bit.
Won't be the first time.
Yeah. We'll arm wrestle.
But Mr. Gannon, oh, I'm sorry.
It should be reduced by that $50,000. My personal opinion.
Okay. Mr. Gannon?
Are you questioning the bottom line tax rate here?
No.
Or what to do?
What to do with the $50,000 that we will get from...
I guess you would have to agree, and I don't know if we made this agreement, that we kept that tax rate steady.
Yeah, zero. Right.
That
yeah.
first.
At 7.22 instead of dropping it to 7.22.
Yeah, that would be the first thing we have to do. Then we can try spending it. First, we got to get it.
So that's the difference between 7.22.
Right. And I would support keeping it at 7.22. Because we have lots of other places we could spend money. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been talking about the stadium tax and road repairs and all the rest and all the zoning thing. I would say keep it in there for now for the discussion about cost of zoning or rezoning, potentially. Okay. We did that 10 years ago, I think.
Trustee Green?
Went through that whole zoning.
I'm good with the zeroing and keeping it at 7.22 because we have other things we need to fund and I'm open to any of them.
Trustee Harris?
What she said.
I'm sorry, it's about $50,000 difference?
Yes, so if we...
53.9.
Yeah, 53.9 if we take out NUI and
mailing.
The mailing.
Okay.
And leave the tax levy.
Without those, it's just 30-some?
Yeah,
34.
Yeah.
So per household?
It's exactly what it was last year.
No, I mean if we reduced it.
Oh.
If we reduced it for all the above mentioned and didn't... Okay, if we took out those last two things, 19,810, and our tax rate would be...
Could we just put that on the water bills?
Oh, do that.
I know.
Okay, so, I mean, it's really $10 to...
$8.47.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I would agree to leave it somewhere.
Trustee Dennis.
Trustee Dennis, where are you hiding? There you are. Oh, hello.
Sorry, I was being quiet. Unusual as it is.
Please share.
I think we should stay at 7.22. A couple of reasons. One of them, I think it's better to use what we find, keep it at that same level on that parallel universe that we always exist on. If we dropped it to 7.19 then came back and had to put it back up politically, it would hurt us as a village or as a group, because people would say, there they go, they're raising taxes again. But if we can work within the structure and maintain, then I think people aren't going to complain about it. We can tell them, hey, we didn't raise the budget, we didn't change the level.
And we can do more with it.
Just because I had a difference of opinion, I'm getting swarmed by a bug.
One bug can't swarm.
Okay, so it's a consensus that we stay at 7.22. And do we need to figure out how to spend it right now?
Yeah.
I would concur with Trustee Atwood on not giving streets another $50,000 because we're putting another $500,000 in to streets from the stadium tax, which is what
we
agreed.
Did
we decide that? We decided that.
You were gone.
You're in Hawaii.
For your reference, we decided to put $500,000 into streets, $100,000 into the Hawk Crossing on the south side on Riverside Drive.
I wasn't here for that discussion.
We missed you. We tried to tie you in. You didn't answer.
Thanks for being on.
$100,000 in reserve for the north crossing.
Okay.
And the rest for wayside signs throughout the village.
Okay.
Wayfinding signs.
I think you guys did a good job.
We tried. We tried to do it all because you mentioned at the previous village board meeting you didn't want to do it piecemeal.
I can't tell you the number of times Jim stopped the meeting and said, what would Penny do?
WWPD.
Okay, so that's my reason. We put an extra $500,000 in.
I didn't know that.
Streets. And we already know what streets are going to be done. $50,000 is not going to get us a lot in any street.
Shoot it that way.
It does mean we take the street out. Okay. It does, in what we have in the capital plan, it does mean we take a street out at $50,000.
Is it Jim Street?
because it's in the maintenance fund. Because those, it was based on $425,000.
Yeah. So now we'll maybe we can do things more efficient.
Maybe we'll be down to $363,000 because I just in the initial draft I rounded it off to the over $400,000 because our estimates aren't that accurate in the preliminary phase. But one thing you could do as an alternative is put some of that into, leave it in the maintenance, because it is an LRIP. It's coming to us for street projects. But take some of it out of there to fund something else. $5,000, $3,000, whatever, round it off and take some out and put it out if you needed a smaller amount of money elsewhere. Because in our estimate for the projects, I think we had 6 streets in there for paving. At this point, I can't tell you that it's exactly $363,000 as we have in here. It might be $350,000. It might be $365,000. I don't know. And you really don't know until you bid it.
Right.
So if you took some money out, we probably could still do all the streets, given that our bid prices generally come in more estimate. Just a thought.
Let's ask Chris what he would do with the money if he would put it aside.
Sales touch.
Well, in our parks capital improvement plan, we have quite a large listing of projects over the next 5 years. And this is all reflection on the comprehensive outdoor rec plan and the community survey that we did. So, it's projects that need to be done in our park system because of deteriorating infrastructure, things that the community wants to see, whether it's new trails, splash pads, things like that, playground upgrades. One project that came up when we were discussing the stadium tax monies was something that Craig and I were discussing, and it went back to the intersection of Green and East River Drive, of doing some work there, and then also with that project doing the entryway to Green Isle Park, redoing that whole entryway. I look at Green Isle Park as one of the gems to the community, and it is
really ratty.
It's really ratty. And pretty disrepair. And we get a lot of eyes that go through there on an annual basis.
And when you're driving, it's not so bad, but when you're walking it, it really, the entrance is really bad.
Yeah, that sidewalk and the entrance.
And the idea that we had was that intersection right there between the stop signs and so forth, redo the intersection and then into the park and pave it and put in the sidewalk and new curb and the whole thing and take it all the way back to where it hits the trail. But it was $100,000 was our equivalent estimate to do the whole thing.
Well, and that would be awesome for the rentals there, too.
Rentals runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that the beginning of that is really bad.
That whole entrance can date back to about
1840.
Would that be part of that whole circle?
Well, it used to be, there was discussion when street projects were being done, we'll redo that entrance. We'll always put it in the budget. Well, it never did. Debbie, I don't know if you recall those discussions, but we'll take care of it. We'll take it in the middle of it because it was going to be part of a street project.
So when was that entrance built? Are we talking 50s, 60s?
74, probably.
Cool. Archway.
My gosh, that's bold.
It used to look like a port entrance. That's how it looks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It looked like what, Fred?
Port entrance.
Oh, really?
It was all being made.
That would be cool.
Fort Greeno.
A depiction. The time that they did it, I think it
made out of something.
It becomes
not woods.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Be able to close it off.
Oh. No. Yeah, Chris, you have to go there every night and close it.
Well, that gain on a timer.
Yeah, kick it.
I threw this one past Brad briefly when he emailed us about Dennis and if we should consider increasing the budget for legal counsel, because we'll have a period of time where we have 2 attorneys on staff, maybe about a month,
as they transition, and also I'd anticipate whoever joins up won't have the history and familiarity, whereas something that maybe took Dennis 20 minutes for a period of time is going to take new person 45 minutes. And I also don't know, I don't remember if Dennis's rate for someone charging the municipality is at the low end, high end, or about middle. I seem to remember he was about in the middle. Yeah. So we would anticipate that being the same. But still, if you get an extra 50 hours and $150, that's $7,500. I don't know how quickly someone would come up to speed. It's just one thing that we might want to consider.
That whole aspect will be on future agenda very soon as to whether or not we want to extend the contract with Dennis into the new year for a while, and then it's part of this budget.
It's only like 3 months, isn't it?
Yeah. But in the process, we have to find, like as Matthew was indicating,
the new attorney.
So there could be a transition in there where it could get a little expensive. Now, we've been trying to be as cautious and conservative as possible whenever we use the attorney. You know, it's peaks and valleys. Some months it's very low, and some other months that it could hit 4,000 to 4,500, maybe even a little higher. Well, some of the attorney fees is part of the tip as well. Whenever there's a proposal that involves legal counsel within the tip, so some of those fees are associated into there.
So if we were to allocate a portion of that towards potential legal fees, and if we didn't incur those, could we use those elsewhere?
You would know how much by April if you used them or not, for the most part.
So that's okay.
And probably by the beginning of the third quarter, we'd have an understanding of how quickly the person is up to speed.
To note, we do annually put in $15,000 for contingency. Just as another, some years we use it all, some years we don't use any of it.
Was 2014, was that because of the post-Act 10? Why is that figure so much higher than the next 2 years?
Or which?
Legal counsel.
No, that was, if I recall, we had some staffing issues.
What did you say?
Staffing issues.
Personnel?
Personnel, that's a better term.
Okay.
There was several things that I think took place in 2014. We also had at the time Tracy had left, so you had a vacancy, so the attorney got used more.
Yeah.
Okay. During a period of time, so. Case scenario, put it into contingency or allocate some additional funds into contingency versus directly in the year, then.
Right, and then
if we're thinking about specific instances, I just want to make sure I brought that one up.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, I was anticipating when I put this together that I didn't know Dennis was retiring, so.
I was wondering if we knew ahead of time or just when we got the email. A little bit ahead of time.
From someplace down south.
So did
Mexico.
Did Chris sway you at all?
Yes, he did.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to give Craig a chance? No, he had.
Well, that was before I knew about that $500,000 that went.
Okay. Okay, so what would you advocate for?
The Green Isle Park entry is really in bad shape, and that is, a beautiful park. I go there 2-3 times a week. I mean, there's people that go there every day. And it is.
You should charge.
Yeah. Well, the trail on the Bellevue side is a little raggedy right now, but...
No, it's done.
Is it done? Oh, last
Where
time
you
I
been?
Was on it.
Jeez.
Okay.
Hawaii.
They just finished it.
It's home?
Hawaii.
But, yeah, I would lean toward that now.
The whole amount? Or allocating some of that for that and some of it for a future possible attorney? Or do you think we're covered
are good
in
ideas.
Contingency with that?
Well, it's hard. I mean, like I said, you really can't predict what's going to happen. If Brad quits, then we'll use it.
Not allowed.
You never know.
Are you advocating for that?
I do like a park entrance idea. So I really do. That is a showcase of our village.
So if we allocated $50,000 for that, could you do something with the entrance?
Well, here's the issue. The intersection itself is in bad shape, so you kind of hate to fix the roadway in without fixing the intersection, because then you're going to have the poor intersection and a nice drive into the park.
So when's the intersection due to be rebuilt?
Depends
if we give you the $50,000.
Not for a while. And there's a bad sanitary sewer underneath that, so if we're going to do the entrance, we got to replace that sewer. So that's... We looked at it, and we came up with around $100,000 to do the whole thing. Now,
all the way back to the trail.
Yeah, all the way back to tie it into the trail. Into the intersection that's in the park there where it splits off. So.
Oh, that first trail going right this way.
Yeah. Right. Going there.
Okay.
Now,
I was going to cut that back, but
that was a preliminary estimate. So, you know, if we get into the details, maybe it would be a little less. I don't know, but $50,000 won't do that whole thing. Man, I can tell you, won't do the whole thing.
What if it was 50 in 17 and 50 in 18?
And you then did,
and we planned on doing the park itself in 17 and the intersection in 18. You'd have a period of time where they don't match up, but it's
you could do that,
they're smaller bikes.
You could do that, yeah.
Yeah. It should be a strategic thing. I mean, because when you talk about it, it there sounds like there's so much that. And yet, each of them is an individually unique item that needs to be addressed. That I think a strategic plan of replacement and progression is probably.
And it allows them to share the money.
I would say that, yeah. That's kind of cool.
I was thinking the park is going to, hitting the park first is going to have much more of. A positive effect. Someone is dealing with, okay, the road isn't as nice as I like it. They don't necessarily understand the problem with the sewer underneath. Where are we going to get in a more immediate bang for the buck?
In the park.
But as long as we know we want to be setting aside for the intersection in 18, we're kind of not necessarily committing ourselves, but you know, in a way setting aside an extra 50,000 out of 18 is being talked about directly for that intersection.
And we should not allow the project to be put aside every year. We should be looked at and should be prioritized at a certain level that says, okay, we have done our investment on the park itself. Let's make sure that we prioritize the rest of it. And with delaying the portion closer to the street, it may coincide time-wise closer to, not obviously not exactly the same, but closer to what the actual plan maintenance or repair of that portion of the street would be. Anyways, not if in 2024 or whatever, but it's going to be more in sync with what your plans are. And you may have along the way someplace where you can move that in time.
Remember, that was the street that we had a DOT funding grant for, and we declined it because we could do the whole street cheaper than we could doing it as a DOT project. And that would have taken care of that intersection. The problem with the intersection, as far as paving it, we can probably squeeze the paving in without doing anything special, but it's the underground that's bad. Mm-hmm. So you can't pave it and not replace that sanitary sewer out there. You know.
And that's also near the unstable soil that we're just up there.
What is that? That spring, you mean? By that spring?
We had like 3 years in a row you guys were dealing with that right
now. That was a quarter mile.
By your house.
North.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that roadway has to be built with a membrane. Geotextile underneath with about 15 or 16 inches of rock in order to hold that roadway.
Wow.
But yeah, you could do that. We can do as much as we can with that entryway and what for $50,000. And if we have to end a little bit short on paving on the intersection,
so be it. It'll get picked up on the next project.
Okay.
You know.
What do you think, Mr. Hendrick? Did we spend even that additional $16,000 that we got?
Pardon me?
Stadium revenue taxes back there. We got another 16, wasn't it 16? We spent that too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You said it all.
You said don't piecemeal it.
Don't piecemeal it. In fact, if you listen to the recording, I say it's too bad Trustee Dart isn't here.
But she told us to spend it.
So the reason
how
they did.
Do you feel about that?
I'm good with that.
Matthew?
I'm good with that. It popped into my head about if we're allocating $500,000 out of the stadium tax refund for roads, and Craig brought up somehow, you know, pretty often we come in under, maybe we can use some of that $500,000 for this road. Maybe it is something we could hit in 17. But to answer your question, yes, I'm in favor. In terms of the consensus, park. Yes. Okay.
Trustee Dennis?
Well, I think it's what I said, you know, it's the same thing. Let's do that portion by the park aggressively, keep on track, prioritize it, make sure that it's not put by the wayside and just bounced off every year. Mm-hmm. Let's have a plan for that, just like we have a plan for the rest of the village and what we're trying to do.
Ms. Claire, I think you have your answer.
Okay. Got it.
So, please.
Wow, I didn't think it was going your way.
Going for zoning and planning, but start that process.
3,000.
You guys want to put 3,900 into rezoning or into the zoning effort?
Is that enough to get it going?
Do we want to verify the amount and what would get done? I thought you'd have to double check with Trevor, and we can confirm that in the next 48 hours and finalize that on Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, you can.
Is that an option? Or is that?
Yeah, we don't have to put the full 50 grand into the park if we give Trevor 5 grand. That's all.
The 50,000 I'll put into the park capital improvement fund.
As a placeholder.
As a placeholder. Right. We may decrease that amount just a little bit.
Okay. I know I haven't mentioned this. It shouldn't be a huge consideration, but that expenditure restraint payment, that letter comes sometime this week.
Which one is that?
Where you can only increase your general fund expenditures by a certain amount to keep that expenditure restraint. Mm-hmm. State payment.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we got that letter October 28th, okay. Which is awesome timing. So still waiting on it, but I think it's going to be about 1.3%. So yeah, I'm going to keep stuff out of the general fund. So.
And also keep in mind that the LRIP doesn't come until the end of 2017. Not something we get early in the year. You have to complete the project, submit all your documentation, and then get paid. So we probably will get paid in 2018 for the 2017 project. That's just kind of the process.
What else?
That's it for tax levy.
Can I ask a question about the tax levy?
Yeah.
When we did the meeting at St. Matt's, everyone who was at that meeting was in favor of raising rates to fix streets. Mm-hmm. And we know we're going to be doing a lot of borrowing out in the future.
Mm-hmm.
As we do with our big equipment, we have an equipment fund, right, mm-hmm. that we put into every year. Does it make sense to levy for a future road improvement project fund to reduce borrowing down the road?
You could. I mean, we do have like regular capital projects fund where I guess you could accrue money. I guess the nature of your work, I don't really know. I guess if you know that a huge road is going to need to be built, I guess I'm guessing.
We asked Green Bay Met to do that with their projects.
Pardon me?
Well, that concept. We asked the works directors, asked Green Bay Met to implement that type of an approach for their, what they call their annual capital projects. So those are projects that are smaller that they don't necessarily, that they don't borrow for.
Mm-hmm.
They set aside cash for it. And they were going up and down. One year it'd be $1 million, next year it'd be $3 million, next year it'd be $2 million. And what we said was level it out, pick a number, and put that number in your budget. So they put $2 million a year in for annual capital. And then they have to work with the $2 million every year. And if they carry it over, they carry it over, but they have to stick with that number. And that's working for them. This is about the third year now that they're working under that annual capital. This is a little different because you wouldn't be able to probably set aside enough money to make a big dent on the capital, the principal. But you could set aside money where you probably would be able to make payments. When you borrow, you'd already have the money to make the annual payments, principal and interest. So that's what you'd be working with, I think, would be principal and interest payments rather than a capital amount set aside that you could just take the $5 million and spend it. You
well, to pay instead that. Of having to borrow for something like that.
Right, it would level out your borrowing.
And I mean, my hope would be we'd start a fund and then say 8 years down the road when we get done with 75% of our roads, and we're looking at an annual maintenance?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that's what we have done in the general fund. It was at 225, this year it's at 363, and then 2018 is going to be at 500,000 when that last part of the public fire protection charge goes on.
Right, but that's, so a, levy. That's a levy amount, right? We're not putting that into a savings account, as I'm
No, and that's to do annual repairs to ramp it up to that $500,000 level. But what you're saying is to levy an additional fund but not spend it.
Correct. Like a savings account, so that maybe we get to a point where we don't have to borrow.
I can see people not liking us doing that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so you're going to levy for a savings account and I don't have one? I can hear people saying that.
Except if we can avoid, if you're a long timer or long term.
Sure. It makes sense to me. Total sense.
People don't like borrowing. They don't like increased tax levy.
What are you going to be doing with my money? Why are you holding my money?
I'd rather hold my money.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think they wouldn't like it. I could be wrong. But
it would be an interesting
referendum. I think you'd be positioned as being, you know, fiscally responsible.
You know, a non-binding referendum question to the village saying, if we had a plan out in the future, this is what it will result in. Of course, they won't trust it. I just think it was a neat idea. Okay. What's up?
I guess the second part, I know you guys go into the utilities during the public works meeting, so I wasn't anticipating covering that here. And all that's known, we're not increasing utility rates. The water rate increase we just went through. So I guess I wanted to get kind of on the same page with what we're borrowing for 2017 and how much. So there were the three options presented. We picked an option, and then that $500,000 would reduce that. And then in Fund 48, the capital projects fund, we need to pay for the safe routes to school.
What page are you on?
Yeah.
I don't really have a page on this. I guess it's on page 7.
It's on page 7.
Is the capital projects fund. But just so I know when I ask our, we go and get projections for this funding, so it's the second option.
For the first year.
For the first year.
And then down to the third.
And then down to the third going forward.
And with the $500,000 coming out of this one.
Right, okay. And then we still need to add on $125,000 for safe routes to school. And that gets added onto the borrowing. And then the last year of our water meter replacement project, we need to borrow for. That's $250,000.
So that's the $500,000, so it's $2.5.
It's $125,000, so $250,000. $375,000.
So $2.375.
And then we also had, if we do the second portion of the East River Trail, half of it would be a grant and half of it we would pay for. That's total $375,000, so we would need $185,000.
Do we know if we're going to get the grant?
No, not yet.
When do you think?
Then I'm hoping to know within the next couple of weeks. They send me an email about every 2 weeks saying thank you for your patience. We're still going through the applications and all that stuff. And I recall the same thing happened last year.
You're not really feeling patient, are you?
I'm not real thrilled with this process.
They're probably working on that.
But for an application that was due in May,
right.
And we're not finding out until November.
What we get is they get projects that are completed. So right now we're at 2.56. If we go for half,
right.
So then it would be, will we borrow for the full cost because we don't get reimbursed until after, or would we just cash flow that half until we get reimbursed, which would be...
That would be a smarter thing to do,
I think we could. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything else that we need to...
So, to go back through... A little potential borrowing is it 250 per water meters?
Mm-hmm. 125 for safe routes to school.
125?
Yeah, 125,000.
Thank you. Go ahead.
2.56
for streets. Okay, for all the power.
Oh no, it's 2 million for streets.
Right. That you're on
the It's a little more than that.
Yeah, I thought it was 2.2.
2.2, yeah.
But you don't really know that dollar amount until you get it
right. Right. Am I missing anything in there? Oh, and then the trail.
Yeah, 185 estimate. And we would know more of the cost, and if we're getting the grant closer to the time that we're going out to borrow.
So you're looking at 2.8 plus, right? Borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
Minus the 500. No, that's 500 is not in there, so.
Yeah, so. We know then our tax will be increased in 2018. With us and our rates.
How much would that increase for everybody, do you think?
We had that projection on it.
In 2018, the last portion of the fire hydrant goes on to...
Right, but then we're increasing the street to 500,000, so that's a wash.
It is, but it's still a tax, right?
Right. We're not decreasing our property tax levy for it.
Right.
We're shifting the expense.
It's offsets.
Yeah. And yes, the water bills will increase for that in 2018. And then we'll also increase to cover debt service. And when those options were presented, we showed the impact on utility rates and the tax rates for those two options. I don't have that in front of me right now.
It wasn't a lot, though, right?
Maybe I could go digging.
Craig's got it.
Oh, okay. I guess I have access to my files if I can find the right one.
Which one do you want?
Yeah. If we were to look at option two, no, option one.
Well, we did options two and three, is the way I remember them being called.
Yeah, 2 for 1 year, 3 for the balance.
What I did for the levy? Dollar?
I don't have any information.
The attachment at our last meeting, it would be on the website. The agenda would be an attachment.
I just know I put together a whole spreadsheet in here. Okay. So, instead, this is option three. So, option two, I guess we'll say option three. is the same thing. So option two. We said the, and again, it depends on interest rates, but it's a 0.08 increase in the tax rate for option two.
But it's about 1%.
And then the annual increase in the utility bills, I had about a $1.22 increase. And then when we go to option three, I did it cumulative, so it's kind of hard to see per issue. But option three, I had it, if we started with that, it was like a 97 to 99 cent increase, and then with our next borrowing, a $1.58 increase in utility bills. So I know we've used Ehlers in the past, and I like what they do is they look at our total debt service and they look at when issues are falling off to keep us consistent. Our big one falls off in 2024, so I would anticipate that they would do something to keep our debt payments low and then bring them up, the principal payments up in 2024.
And we'll have two other rounds of funding before then?
Yes, 2017, 19, and 21.
So three more.
And 2023. That's four.
And 23, so four more. So are we telling Ehlers that those are our expected borrowing patterns?
That's what we were telling them. I haven't consulted with them yet.
Okay, so what do you need from us?
I think if we're looking at that 2.8, we can get an answer from some calculation for
Wednesday.
For Wednesday. Can you have it by Wednesday?
Yeah, no, I just felt like we already had that pretty much. So because I had it here at 2.5, and again, we don't know interest rates, so the difference between 2.5 and 2.8, we know starting in 2018 it's about an 8 cent increase in the tax rate and a $1.22 on utility bill. So I just wanted to get a direction that when we're borrowing, we're also going to include Safe Routes to School, and I'll put that in Fund 48, that expense of $125,000, $185,000 for the trail, and $250,000 for the water meter.
Are we in agreement?
I agree.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah,
we have any choice.
Right.
All in favor, nod your heads.
Right. So everyone falling asleep, nod your heads.
Okay, I guess that's.
What else do you need? Does anyone have questions for us, for Clara, or for anyone else?
I know what I'm on the phone.
Okay.
But just to make sure, there's just a handful of things in the detail, and if we can't figure it out, I'll bring it up on Wednesday if they're quick. I don't want to bother.
Okay.
I don't want to drag everybody else into it.
Do we want to meet again on Wednesday?
Appreciate that. Do we
need to meet on Wednesday?
What do we need to meet on Wednesday for?
What do you need in Wander?
Final direction on the last 3,900 with Trevor in the zoning.
That's the only thing right now.
It'd be kind of nice just to have a summary.
Okay.
Get a
summary. Okay.
Because you may have had some things you brought up.
Yeah, we can go over that in between and make sure that I have everything right.
Does 5 o'clock work for everyone on Wednesday?
Give me a couple minutes on the other side of 5 to get here.
Ideally, 5:30 would be better for me. I can do 5.
We can't. It's scheduled, right?
5 o'clock, right?
We can amend it. Whatever you guys want.
We can.
Maybe even a 5:15. I'd prefer, if possible.
Do you need so many days, Debbie?
24.
I'll tell you what. If everyone's late by 15 minutes, we won't get upset.
It's fair enough.
Just.
Okay.
Okay. So, what are we doing?
We're meeting Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And if you're 15 minutes late, you're not going to get reprimanded.
If you are later than 15 minutes, then you're in trouble.
We need a quorum to start.
Yeah. Do we have a... We can wait to start as long as we make people late. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Etwood. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much.